Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to SFG Podcast Episode 7. I am your host, your humble and gracious host, Lion Zion, a.k.a. Mr. Lion, b.k.a. El Capitan, c.k.a. President of the Lacazette Fan Club, d.k.a. Mr. Arsenal. I am with my co-host, Mr. Sakani Buzzin, a.k.a. Coach Sick. Sick, say what's up.
What's going on, everybody? I still got to get used to all these names, man.
I'm making up more as I go along every day. All right. And today we have a special guest, one of my old podcast companions, Liverpool fan. In the spirit of playing Liverpool on Monday, we decided to get our very, very first guest of the SFG podcast, Mr. V2. Say what up, V2?
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure. Pleasure to be here, man.
All right, man. You know, glad to have a champion on the on the podcast. You won't be getting that many compliments. So you just take it how you can get it from now.
Yeah, nice. Cool. It's cool. I mean, you guys will get there eventually, man. But yeah, life's good as a Liverpool fan, to be honest.
We've been there. Okay. So there. Only guys that aren't used to it. That, you know, act like this, because this is the first title you've seen in your entire life, I'm sure.
You guys, is this 2004? Come on, man. Like, Twitter wasn't even invented.
Listen, okay. The last time you had an EPL champion, you were in your dad's ball sack, okay? So I don't want to hear any of that, all right? You were still swimming around.
Hey. Okay. Hey, let's not even get started with Champions Leagues.
Okay. Oh, Champions. Oh, you mean the one that like Porto wins? Let's.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
The one your entire family tree of Arsenal fans has never seen.
Oh God. Hey, listen. My trophy cabinet is just fine. Okay. We have a gold EPL title. Is yours gold? If it ain't gold, I don't want to hear it. We got one of one trophies. You got trophies that other guys have won. Porto's won that trophy. A lot of guys have won that trophy. I have a trophy that nobody else has won. All right.
Okay, listen, I'll give you that, but this Thiago jersey I have right now has a golden Premier League.
We'll get there. We'll get
champion
there.
Champion badge on it. We'll so, yeah, yeah.
He didn't even
let's
win
just
the
get
Premier
it
League.
Let's just get it rolling.
He shouldn't be wearing that patch. He hasn't even won that with you guys. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Anyways, so we got V2 on the pod just to talk some Liverpool Arsenal. We're going to do some previews for the Arsenal-Liverpool game. So before we start there, let's go back into the summer. Talk about some transfers for Liverpool and see how the team looks differently now. I know that Thiago has just signed and I want to get your thoughts on not just Thiago but the window in general.
The window in general. Yeah, if I was to give this window a rating on the scale of 1 to 10, it's definitely going to be an 8 for me, man, to be honest. I think we addressed some much needed concerns. Number one, let's talk about the first signing, which I think was Kostas Tsimikas. Mm-hmm. I think you Arsenal boys are probably familiar with him.
Sort of.
Hey, when I read about him before he joined us, I heard he terrorized you guys in the, I think it was Europa League or Champions League. I don't know.
Yeah. Nobody terrorized us.
It wasn't. But listen,
what position does he play again?
Exactly.
Left back. Exactly. Left back.
Okay. All I know is I saw a clip where he was on the ground like 4 times after Pepe chopped him up. But, you know, we're not going to talk about that, though.
Wait, what clip is this?
It's okay. I will send you that clip later, okay? All I know is Pepe
literally
shifted that man out of his boots 4 or 5 times.
Hey, legend has it, he's still on the ground.
Yeah, literally. He had him sliding off the field. But it's okay though. We'll continue.
Put it this way. We know Kostas is not starting on Monday.
Yeah, he's 100%. Not. He's not. But listen, he's a great depth signing, and I think he's the one that's going to put the fire under the feet of Robertson.
Robertson.
Because, yeah, Robertson. Robertson towards the end of last season, he kind of fell off, to be honest. So I think maybe it was because he realized he was champion, and he had no competition in his position. But I mean, lately what I've seen from Kostas, I mean, he's a more technical, version going forward. But, you know, questions have to be asked about his defending, to be honest. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I'm a little bit curious to see what this Pepe clip is all about.
He'll send it to you later.
Okay. I got you. So that's the first signing. I mean, I'm happy with them, to be honest. The second signing, Thiago, of course. I mean, what more can I say there? What more?
Yeah. Big signing.
Big signing.
Right there, you don't need to say much. I love Thiago. I'm so
everybody does.
You guys. Oh man.
To be honest, like if you were to look at it from our standpoint, I think he's the signing that actually is sort of like the beginning of the dynasty. I know that we've won the Champions League recently, we've won the Premier League, but bringing in a player like this on a 4-year deal without even selling, you know, Mohamed Salah or Sadio Mane or Virgil van Dijk, I mean, come on. I mean, it's almost like just saying, hey, Liverpool's now here at the table to actually compete with, you know, a Manchester City and also maybe, you know, other teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona on like a brand statement. Of course, more titles have to come, more signings have to come, but I feel like Thiago is the first of that, to be honest.
You know what's crazy? I was saying before you guys got Thiago, I was like, damn, I honestly think Liverpool is going to get third place this year. This is before you guys got Thiago. And the reason why I say that is because once you guys start to rotate, it's not that great. You guys, your guys' depth isn't the best. So I said, once you guys got Thiago, I was like, damn, they might just have bounced back into the title contention. Because I thought, for me, I thought City would have won it pretty easily just because their depth is so it's ridiculous. But now that you guys got Thiago, I'm like, damn. I'm kind of thinking again, like, you guys really might have a chance to win the league or at least come close to challenging. Because I don't think you guys will get anywhere close to what you guys did last year. That's just a part of the game. And, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime type thing for a lot of teams. Fair. Not even just because, you know, I don't like Liverpool. But, you know, that's a very hard task to do.
I agree in the sense that it's a hard task to do. And City,
not impossible.
City with Pep,
very hard.
You know, building a dynasty is different from building a team to win the league 1 year. That's why if you see teams like Chelsea will win the league 1 year, will be fifth for next year. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or other teams, Leicester City, for instance, the one off. The dynasty is being able to go 2-3 years at the first or second place in the table. And I think Thiago is definitely a signing that that says that stakes your claim as wanting to win it twice. So
exactly,
I definitely think that's it was a big signing.
Yeah, because I mean, I definitely agree with you guys on those points. To be honest, like I never knew this was actually going to happen. You know, there were rumors about it happening, and normally when we do business, it tends to be very quiet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just pops up. So this whole Thiago rumors past couple weeks. Exactly. Yeah. With all these Thiago rumors, I was like, man, it's not going to happen. He's going to go to City. He's going to go to PSG. He's going to go to Barcelona. And, you know, I was almost resigned to actually giving the title to Manchester City, like you guys mentioned. But when he came through and, you know, as we saw against Chelsea, to be honest, man, I mean, we can hop into that later in the podcast. But Yeah, he's legit. I'm very confident we're going to win the title this year. But
I will say, as unbiasedly as I can, this is the first Liverpool signing I've seen since you guys have rebuilt, where a world class player has left a world class team to come to play with you guys. You guys got Salah. You guys got Mane at almost bargain deals. Like they were kind of resurrecting their careers. Firmino wasn't at a bigger club than Liverpool. He was playing at a high level and chose you guys. But even Virgil coming from Southampton, most of your players are coming are taking a step up into Liverpool. So for Thiago to leave a Champions League team like Bayern and choose Liverpool is big time. It's big time for your club for sure.
Yeah, thanks. So, I mean, the last signing is Diego Jota, and to be honest,
out of nowhere. Like, nobody knew that was
happening.
Out of nowhere, but I'm happy. I'm happy as well, because...
How much was that, by the way?
45. So, he's the same... Yeah. This, 45 million, the same price as Timo Werner, but I think the reason why they opted for, you know, him over Timo Werner, apparently, is because Leipzig wanted the money up front. Well, we paid installments for Diego Jota. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, the player himself, I'm happy because even though he had a somewhat of a you know, a subpar season with Wolves last year, we've already seen what he can do in the Premier League when he's in form. And, you know, the fact that he's possibly willing to come off the bench, I mean, I'm happy there.
Yeah. Wasn't he injured last season for a good chunk of the season?
I think for a little while. Like, I don't know if it was that long.
I felt
long.
Like that's why he kind of was coming off the bench a lot. Because he was True. Picking up little injuries. I could be wrong, though, because I didn't watch much of Wolves' matches too much. But you know, I don't know. I like him, though. I think he's a good player for you guys.
I agree.
I think he'll do good coming off the bench. I think it's an upgrade from Shaqiri. I don't know if you listened to the last pod, but I was just talking to Mark about that. Mm-hmm. I was saying that Shaqiri is an okay player. I don't think he's that good, and I think that's why he doesn't play as much as he need or as much as he does. So
interesting. I mean, I like Shaqiri. I mean, he's never had a bad game for Liverpool.
Yeah, but I like him.
We have to see him. Yeah, we have to see his potential.
I think Shaqiri's versatility is what Liverpool likes because he can play inside out, can play on the wing, can play in the midfield. So I think same thing with Ox. You guys have a lot of guys that are you can kind of plug and play wherever you want. So it'll be Jota is one of them too. Jota could play center forward, I'm sure, in a front three or in your front three more than likely. You can also play out wide too. He's a wide player, but
where he's going to end up playing one of those out wide positions.
Yeah, me too. They rotate. But if Firmino has to go, you know, if Firmino has to drop for a game or injury, you can kind of put Jota there instead of Origi. You know, it depends.
Yeah, I could see that. Definitely.
Yeah, well, trust me, we have a lot of players. Pretty much everybody. Salah plays striker every once in a while. Minamino, the Japanese player, I think he's the direct replacement for Firmino.
I've said on podcasts in the past, I think the last one where we beat you guys and he scored, I said Minamino is a player. He's I think he had a – did he have a hat trick when you guys played against Lincoln City last week or something?
Yeah, two goals and an assist.
Yeah. But I mean, you guys beat that team 7-1 or 7-2. I mean,
it's expected. But when he played against Arsenal, that's what really kind of, you know
– he's a player.
I wanted to see that, yeah.
He's a baller, for sure. He's a baller. He's going to be – and he's young, too. He's like 21, 22 or something like that.
Actually, no. I think he's maybe around
24, maybe.
Yeah, around there. Probably. Yeah,
still not. I mean, it's a good age. It's a good age.
Yeah, early to mid 20s. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, he's gonna be. I think he's gonna be the guy that might get Origi out of here for you guys.
Minamino, really?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think so.
No, because I mean the room.
I feel like I feel like Origi is like pretty versatile because he can play out wide and down the middle. So I feel like they don't really want to get rid of him too quick.
And he's a big game player, but with Divock, I think the biggest thing is he's been
100%.
Yeah,
he's a big time player.
He reminds me of Eduardo for you guys because remember Eduardo was the player that looked like he was going to be huge, but then he suffered an injury. And I think who was that guy that injured Divock Origi? And then ever since then, it's just never been the same.
I think I remember what you talked about. Yeah, he kind of lost a step. He just seems like he lost like a little half step, not as quick as he was. I think when he first.
Because you remember at the World Cup.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Remember at the World Cup when he was 18.
Yeah, pace. Yeah, he was all pace. I mean, all pace. But that back then he was a wide player. Yeah,
I think he was
a known wide player. So I think losing that step kind of helped him too with his versatility because now he can kind of be that. His hold up plays have gotten a lot better. He wasn't really that type of striker.
Somewhat. Yeah, but you know. We have to agree here. I mean, his quality is kind of, you know,
you mentioned. He won't break into the front three. That's not happening.
He won't. Yeah,
you know, it won't happen at all. Jota has a better chance. And at Minamino, at his age, you know, he can grow into it too. So, but the team, your team has definitely picked up some depth this summer. And to compete with City, you're going to need that because City has two teams. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting. And not just City. I mean, look at Chelsea spending $200 million. United still has a team. Spurs just got back Bale. We're building. I mean, Everton looks amazing. I saw them play this morning. James looks like he's right at home. Allen looks good. I know me and you, Vito, have talked about Allen and how good of a signing he's going to be for Everton. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these teams are getting better. So you got to get better with them.
I think that really speaks to, like, you know, the entrance of all these managers in the Premier League. And I mean, I don't want to go off the rails a little bit here, but just to keep it Arsenal themed for a little bit, I have you guys actually in third place in my list.
Really?
At the end of the season. And it's the biggest thing for me is, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing for me when I look at Mikel Arteta, you guys have the real deal, man. I'm not gonna front. You have the real deal in, like, the next world class manager.
I had the same prediction.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we definitely. Well, give me your top six, V2, since you're here. Just give me your top six.
Top six. Man, let me pull it out very quickly. But of course, Liverpool, City, Arsenal. Fourth place, it was a toss up between Chelsea and the Spurs. Okay. And then after that, I think fifth. Let's go ahead and give it to Spurs. Nope. Ooh. And then Everton, and then United is below Everton.
Yeah, Everton. Wow. Our United. I know we got a couple of United fans that listen to this. So I'm gonna love that. They're gonna love that one.
I don't like that club. I mean, I'm not just saying this is like a Liverpool fan. It's like, I think they've lost it. Like, I remember when Salix was there, there was a bridge between the business side. Yeah, no, but like there was a bridge between the football side and then the business side. Mm-hmm. And then nowadays it's just they care about image.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at Ole, I don't think Ole's managed to separate that. And every other manager that's come before Ole since then has not managed to separate that and make it all about the football. So that's why it's, you know, Man United, I don't see Ole being better than Mikel Arteta and Carlo Ancelotti when it comes to management.
Yeah, I see.
And even Frank Lampard to an extent.
That is a very, very good point, V2. I think if you look at the top six, United probably has the worst manager out of all six teams, or six or seven teams. Even with Spurs having Mourinho, Everton, like you said, with Ancelotti, us with Mikel, you with Klopp, Pep over at City, even Lampard at Chelsea. You could see the difference between the Chelsea team having Lampard and believing in him as a young manager. And I think Ole is punching above his weight class. And I think this year they're gonna be found out, because there's gonna be games where Ole is gonna have to make decisions, and if they cannot keep getting bailed out by penalties and things like that, he may have to move. So I agree with you there. I think Ole is definitely the odd man out in terms of the managers in the top six and the top seven, for sure.
So for me, I feel like Man U, if they can somehow get that deal across for their left back, and then they put Donny van der Beek in the midfield, I had them going fourth. I think I'm going to stick with that just because they're very talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that we did a top six prediction at the start of the window, which is going to change. So we're going to do another top six prediction at the end of the window, because I think at that point, obviously, with everyone's transfers, we're going to see where everyone lines up. Because I think we did it before Bale got to Spurs, before Thiago got to Liverpool, you know, before all of these signings. So obviously, at deadline day, the teams are going to be set, so we're going to see it at that point. So, at this point now, let's do our starting 11s for the game on Monday. I will start with V2 with Liverpool. How do you predict your lineup is going to be?
All right, so we're going to go from goalkeeper all the way up. Alisson, of course, left back Robertson. Left center back Virgil, right center back is where it's going to get tricky, because Gomez is coming back from injury.
So you guys gonna be playing back three?
I'm gonna put Fabinho there. Nope. Back four, but put Fabinho there.
Okay.
He played good against Chelsea. Right back Trent. Now so midfield hold on. Is where before it's interesting
you,
because
before you go, go on, ahead. Why? So Fabinho, I noticed, had to play back there. Is Gomez and Matip and all these guys.
He was coming back from injury as well.
Yeah. What about Lauren? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Why has Fabinho been playing there?
So Fabinho, number one, yeah, Lovren has been sold. He's pretty much all we have as the option. So
Oh, okay, okay.
The thing is, Joe Gomez, I would put Joe Gomez in there if he's ready, but that falls under Klopp's discretion. Now, the thing is, like, what I'm most worried about when I look at Arsenal, there was one game that I think, Mark, we talked about this way back. I think it was Unai Emery when you guys played at the Emirates, and you guys did a diamond in midfield, and you put Pepe and Aubameyang, and you guys literally had those two go up against our center backs.
It was at Anfield.
Yeah, it was at Anfield? Okay, mm-hmm. There you go. I think it was Anfield. When you guys did that, you gave a lot of problems to us. But the thing is, you ended up playing long ball football, and that was easy. It was easy for them.
Yeah.
And Joe Gomez is easy. You know, he's pretty good at, in the air, and especially he uses physicality to catch up. Now, if you guys are going to play on the ground, then that's where I think I'd rather have Fabinho there as opposed to Joe Gomez, because Joe Gomez can get caught in positions. And when you have somebody like Aubameyang with pace, I mean, come on, that's devastating. So,
but wouldn't you be afraid more of Fabinho on the break against Aubameyang instead of Gomez? Because I think Gomez is faster than him, no?
No, because Fabinho's positioning. His positioning is way less important. You don't need to rely on physicality if you know where to be at the right times.
True, true. Very true. Yep, very true. Okay, all right, I hear that.
I agree with that back four.
Okay, so in midfield. Let me see what the midfield looks like.
Yeah, so the midfield, we're going to keep it very offensive. We're going to go with Thiago, and then accompanied by Gini on his right, and then Naby Keita on his left. That tends to be how it normally is. Smart. Exactly.
So Henderson not starting.
No, Henderson's injured. So, I mean, that's the only option that we have. Yeah. It's either Thiago, Milner, and let's be honest, Thiago. Yeah. So, the only reason why I think we should go offensive is because you guys are technically weak in midfield. I think that's like the weakest part of your midfield. And I'm saying that from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, in terms of like defending, we wouldn't have to necessarily worry about a crazy midfield battle. Otherwise, if you guys had like a crazy, you know, number 10, then I would throw Fabinho in there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But yeah, exactly. So anyway, Gini Wijnaldum tends to have a very good game against Arsenal. I'm going to be curious to see what Klopp does ultimately with Thiago, because against Chelsea, he's kind of given a free roam against 10 men. You know, play ball. He had no training session. That was basically his training session against Chelsea. And he was pinging it, man. He was orchestrating. But at times, he would go forward and he would do something that no Liverpool midfielder has done. And that's link up pretty well with the front three in tight spaces. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why you guys have beaten us, in my opinion, is because you guys keep it organized. You keep it tight, compact. And you don't allow much space for the front three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when Thiago, I think there was an instance when he came on and the first goal with Mohamed Salah, instantly, I think it was him that played a ball into Firmino, boom, he spits it back out to Trent, quick exchange of passes, goes back into it, and then Sadio Mane wins the header and scores a goal. I think we need to start seeing more of that. And I heard rumors, you know, before Thiago was ever signed, that Klopp would use him eventually as a number 10. And there have been time periods in our midfield when we do tend to sink the wide center midfielders into like a sort of like a narrow, you know, holding two. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes, you know, if Fabinho is playing there, one of them would sit with him. And then the other one would, you know, tend to go up and try and, you know, create some space to try and link up. Exactly.
Gotcha.
So that's why I think that midfield, it's going to be very interesting. And I think Thiago is going to be the biggest piece to see how Arteta is going to manage that. And then, of course, the front three. Do I need to say any more? It's just going to be the standard
front three. Standard front three.
So Mo, Sadio, yep, and Firmino.
And just to harp back on your midfield, I think that's a big reason why Thiago is such a huge signing for you guys, because you can do a plethora of things with that midfield. You could play a double D mid, play him at the 10. You could play an inverted V, play one defensive mid, play two more attack-oriented box-to-box midfielders. You can put Thiago in any part of that midfield, and he'll be fine. So that's why it's such a big signing for you guys, because when you get injuries now, you mm-hmm. can just kind of plan accordingly. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a mm-hmm. big signing in that case.
Yeah, so what are you guys going to look like? I'm curious.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't no need to fix it. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see a back three. Same back three that has started Arteta with his 2-0 record against Klopp. So I think we're going to see Leno. I think it's the first name on the team sheet, obviously, because Emi's gone. Sick, what do you think the back line is going to look like?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Gabriel on the left, David Luiz down the middle, and then Holding on the right in the back three, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think if Tierney's fit, I think we may go back to him at the left center back instead of
I was gonna put him at left wing back because he was fit. Hmm. I was gonna have him left wing back, and then obviously, of course, Bellerin on right wing back. But that's gonna be my back three, in my opinion.
So
okay,
I pretty much 90% agree. That one. Agree with that. Excuse me. I think the reason why Holding plays is because he's had very good performances against Liverpool. I'm not going to say he's put anybody in his back pocket. I'm not going to be that disrespectful. But Mane, he seems to do decent against Mane. I mean, if you looked at the last two games, zero goals against. It has it from Mane in the last two games that we played Liverpool. And Holding's been on that specific side. So Holding and Bellerin together on the right side have worked. With that being said, Tierney playing left center back might be our best center back in these games against Liverpool. I think he wants to find a way to play Ainsley Maitland-Niles on Salah's side. Because he wants to, I think Arteta would like to have Tierney and Ainsley Maitland-Niles kind of double Mane. And putting Gabriel there, although is a center out and out center back, I don't know if he wants to put Tierney on that ring back role next to Gabriel for the first time.
So you're not starting Gabriel?
I don't know. I think if it comes down to it, I may start. I may start Gabriel instead of Holding, but I would rather just have the back three. It would either be Gabriel, Luis, Kieran Tierney, or Rob, Luis, Kieran Tierney. Kieran Tierney.
Can I hop in there for a minute?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish your statement. I'll hop in after you.
Okay. I was going to say, the reason why I don't think that's going to happen is because it's just too many left-footed players that haven't played together as to why with the Gabriel, David Luiz, and the Tierney. If I was to make a change, it would be Tierney would be on the bench just because he's coming off of an injury, and Maitland-Niles would be left wing back, because I do agree with that. Ainsley matches up a little bit better with Salah's speed. When it comes to that side. But in my opinion, I think David Luiz is 100% healthy, and he's been playing good. So I do think he gets in the middle of the three because he does a good job with, directing traffic and making sure everybody's kind of in their right position. So that's why I'm thinking it's going to be Gabriel, David Luiz, and Holding, in my opinion. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I saw a video on Tifo last night. It was Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. I'll send it to you guys eventually.
Yeah, afterwards. Very good video. I watched it too.
And even though Tierney starts out as a left center back, right? He's kind of given that license to you know push and go a little bit wide while Maitland comes in. Now that kind of that two right there, I think can handle not only Salah. But I'm also thinking, if you need a spare man in midfield that can come in and, deal with Thiago, Maitland's there. If you guys need to double up and deal with Trent, and Trent's the biggest thing for me. Yep.
Trent wasn't there, Community Shield. And I think that was a big reason why we were that able to roam free.
That is a big reason. So, I mean, I think, honestly, I'd be much more afraid as a Liverpool fan if I saw Tierney, Maitland, and, who are your other, maybe Holding and Gabby. I could seriously see that being compact. And Bellerin, I'll admit, has been playing very well. So
yeah,
that's what I would imagine, you guys would do. But if you guys feel David Luiz is going to be ready for this, then yeah, he can get slaughtered.
Here's the thing. David Luiz is our most he's probably the main reason why we play a back three, back five, because he's not a back four center back. He's a guy that plays in the middle of the back three. He's too slow. But also that he controls the pace of our transition from the back line. He's kind of the most comfortable center back we have with the ball at his feet. Yeah. So I think personally, Gabriel not having played at that left center back role with Tierney out wide to his left yet against a big team, I think that's why Arteta is going to go with what worked. I think personally, Gabriel will eventually do that because that's why we signed him. But I think he would rather have Tierney there with Ainsley with the relationship that they have rather than throw Gabriel in a fire with Tierney on the left wing back. So if Tierney's fit, it's really depending on if Tierney's fit. If Tierney's fit, I think he plays.
He's back in training already.
Yeah. So if he's 90%, I think Gabriel might be on the bench. I think it will probably be left center back Tierney, and only because I think Ainsley is super important in a game like this to play that wing back role. I think you'd rather have Ainsley there than Tierney, and you have to have Tierney on the field. Tierney is probably number two on the team sheet after Leno. I think it's Leno, Tierney, Aubameyang, or Leno, Aubameyang, Tierney on the team sheet.
Yeah,
so,
I'm gonna say
I think you have. Well, either way, I'm saying the defender. First, well, either way, my point being, I think Tierney's the first name on the team sheet as a defender. He's definitely been one of our best defenders.
I don't disagree with that.
And I don't think we move Gabriel to the right either because he's just not comfortable there yet. So I think if it's either Tierney or Gabriel.
That's why I say he's super left footed, so I don't see him moving
on the right side. Yeah,
anywhere
true
towards the right side. That's why I keep him on the left and I push Tierney up to the left wing back.
True, but I don't know if that with that injury, if you want Tierney to cover that much ground, I think you may protect him and say, you know what, as a left center back, we beat Liverpool twice with him playing in that role, and we have Ainsley that plays that role that can come into the midfield and help out the midfield because, as V2 said, with that back five, that back three, back five, there's only going to be two center mids, which is more than likely going to be Xhaka and Ceballos. So Ainsley helps us out tremendously by pinching in to help out the midfield there. And I think that's probably why that's going to play a role in Arteta's team there.
I hear you. But I also think another reason why Tierney was even playing left center back is because we've had injuries.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was out of necessity, but it worked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that. But of course, you want that though. You need players that can kind of do both, and that's why he's very important to us because he offers us both. He can play obviously his favorite position, left back or left wing back, and then if need be, he can tuck in and kind of cover for us as a left center back, and that's why Monreal was so important to us when he was here.
Definitely,
because he can kind of do both. He's a consistent player both ways. So
I actually drew that lineup just actually down and was looking at it. It can go multiple ways. That's why I think Arteta is such a boss manager Maitland. Yeah, he could come into midfield. If that happens, you guys have a midfield three and you have a back four. If Bellerin drops back a little bit deeper,
correct.
And then Tierney's back in his left back spots. So, I mean,
correct.
Listen, man, I think that'd be pretty good.
I think that's what we're gonna end up doing. I think Gabriel, you may not want to sit him, but he's still new. So, and I think this is too big of a game. I think it's, too, but I just think I it's too being a game to try it out. This will be the first time we're doing it in this type of formation against Liverpool. And I think I'd rather go. I mean, we could disagree on it, but I'm just saying I would rather go with what works. You know what I'm saying? I personally think it would work that way.
You let me know you're starting 11.
And yeah. Okay. Cool.
I'll say mine because we're.
Yeah.
I don't see us agreeing.
Yeah. True. True.
We both have those changes happening.
Okay.
So you can finish out yours.
I'll finish out mine then.
I'm going to finish out mine because I started out the back five.
All right. So finish with your back five and then go through it.
Okay. So Leno in goal. Left center back, I'm going to go Gabriel. In the middle, I'm going to go middle center back, I'm going to go David Luiz. Right center back, I'm going to go Robert Holding. I don't know if it's Robert. I think it's just Rob.
I would assume it's Robert.
Yeah, you could be right, but I'm going to stay Rob. sounds better. Right wing back, I'm going to go Bellerin. Left wing back, I'm going to go Tierney, if fit. If not fit, if he's not on the team sheet, then I'm going to go Maitland-Niles. My two holding are going to be Xhaka and Ceballos. That's been working for us. And then the front three are going to be the same. Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette down the middle, and then Willian on the right. Pepe comes in.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. So I think pretty much mine is the same, I mean, with a couple of differences. But, yeah, Leno in goal. Rob Holding on the right center back. David Luiz center back. And if Tierney's fit, I think I'm going to go Tierney left center back. So then right wing back Bellerin, midfield pair of Xhaka and Ceballos. And I'm going to go Ainsley Maitland-Niles on the left wing back. If it goes that way. And then the front three, same front three, Aubameyang on the left, Willian on the right, and Lacazette through the central. And we go from there. So it's definitely going to be, you can already see where the battles are going to be. I think the battles are definitely going to be in the midfield. When we get into our back five shell, yeah. We're definitely going to be seeing a lot of Ainsley Maitland-Niles and Tierney and Gabriel doubling up against Salah. Same thing with Mane on the other side with Holding and Bellerin. But the main thing is you guys are going to keep the ball. You're going to keep the ball a lot. Liverpool's going to have possession most of the game.
That's one thing that I'm also concerned about, because listen, you guys, it's not hard to figure out how Liverpool's going to play. It's not, because you know before Thiago was there, I think you guys ultimately you know you stayed compact. You knew that we were going to go through the wide areas with Robertson and Trent, and that was pretty much it. That's pretty much how you guys managed us. Now when Thiago comes in, you know, it's just a third element that he's pretty much providing.
Correct.
Now what I'm really concerned about, especially that midfield, is not only Maitland when he comes in to, you know, help out do the dirty work, Willian, he's not really a creative kind of like playmaker, but he's somebody who, if you guys are sitting
deep, I call him a playmaker too.
To find some space behind Thiago. Yeah, okay, but then like,
well, in he's a sense pressing. He's not pressing. Creative, he's there. He's there to be. Exactly. He's there to press. That's why he starts over Pepe
like
right now.
Like he's exactly like he's explosive, but he can carry the ball forward, and you know he can still find a pass.
Definitely, right? Definitely.
So he's not like Ozil, but you know you get what I'm trying to say here. He's like, you know, explosive and, you know, sure, the spark and so forth. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, if he's going to be coming in and dropping in and creating some damage behind our midfield, you know, especially when it comes to Naby Keita, who's a little bit slow when it comes to tracking back, and you know, maybe trying to, you know, give Thiago a little bit of a headache defensively, even though Thiago's pretty good athletically. We have to see. That could be an issue that you guys could exploit, or, you know,
I think
take advantage of.
I think that's definitely going to be a key matchup there. Willian pressing and helping out in the midfield too, as well, trying to press on Robertson. Because I think Robertson's kind of, if I could find a weak point in your possession game, it may be Robertson. So I think Willian has a good chance at closing Robertson down, only because he's not Trent Arnold with the ball at his feet. He's not anybody else really in your back line. Even Alisson is probably better at his feet than Robertson is. So Robertson, like I said, Robertson's best left back in the Premier League. Remember I told you 2 years ago when you bought him that he could potentially be one of the best left backs in the Premier League. And I think Tierney's right behind him at this point. But my point to you is, how we're going to try to break your possession and how we're going to break your gegenpress. I think if we break the gegenpress when you guys lose the ball, and especially on goal kicks, when we start off the back, that's something we've been working on a lot. So if we can break that press and break your gegenpress, I don't know how it looks though with Thiago. That's the wild card here. It's how that gegenpress looks with. No, I think it may look better personally, because I think Thiago could cover just as much ground as Henderson, and he could do more with the ball when he wins it upfield. So,
you know, when you look at his statistics from Germany, he's very good at interceptions, and he's also very good at blocks and closing down, Thiago.
Yeah, for sure.
I think if you look at also the, when you look at Liverpool, when we're attempting to, you know, get our shape, and you know we have somebody at least is the first one to step and kind of be the one to, you know, start the press, it's Fabinho a lot of the times. And then the rest of the team kind of falls back in shape, and he falls back to number six. Thiago is doing that for Bayern, if you go back and look at some of their games. So I think like the team did like really good scouting by, you know, identifying Thiago not only from an offensive standpoint, but a defensive
pressing standpoint.
But, yeah, for sure. But yeah, like ultimately, man, what I'm more concerned about is you guys just keeping your shape. And it, like I said, it's going to be a numbers game in midfield, and Arteta just being extremely, you know, tactical here, and how he uses, like, you know, the spare man, where Maitland comes in or Willian's going to come in and kind of create problems for Liverpool. Because, again, Liverpool, the template is always the same. We're just very relentless. That's the biggest thing with our team. And
definitely.
That's my only critique. Like, we're not creative. It's just, you know, we're going to use the same avenues, and we're going to see. Yeah, but not in a sense like City. Like, City can hit you multiple angles. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, but, like, Liverpool,
yeah, you know where it's coming from.
You know where it's coming from, basically. So,
all right, so score predictions.
It's going to be interesting.
What you got for score predictions and goal scores?
Me, 1-1. Sadio Mane. For you guys, I'm going to put Aubameyang as the goal scorer.
Okay, okay.
I don't think Klopp's going to beat Arteta here, because just Arteta, I'm that convinced Arteta is such a good manager. But that's my scoreline.
Okay, sick. What you got on the scoreline? Goal scorers.
I actually have us tying as well, but I have us 2-2. I'm going to go Mane and Salah for you guys, and then I'm going to go Lacazette and Willian.
Interesting. I'm going to go 3-2 Arsenal. Just because I had it as a 3-3 tie as well. I think it was going to be a goal scoring game. But I'm going to go 3-2 just for the sake of arguments.
Who's scoring?
I'm going to say you guys go up early. Whoever. Mane, Firmino, Salah, whoever.
Well, you gotta pick. You gotta pick your scores.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's say Mane opens up the score sheet. We tie with Aubameyang. Second goal, Firmino, because he seems to score against us. And
I forgot that one.
Two late second half goals. I'm going to say Pepe comes on late, gets us a penalty, and Eddie and Tekia for the winner.
Okay, interesting. Okay, interesting. Very, very descriptive. I mean, you probably have a crystal ball that we don't have, but okay. Hey, to be honest, man, I'll take a draw.
I would love a draw. It's at Anfield too, right? Playing at Anfield, right?
Yeah, I have to look that one. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's that answer.
But the biggest thing for me is last year when we won it, we didn't actually blow the front, you know, the top six sides away. We didn't. Because United gave us a problem, City gave us a problem, you guys gave us a problem, and I think a few other teams.
Well, start of the year, you put us away pretty clean.
Yeah, but five. The second half as well. Yeah,
that was still, Emery. That was Emery's days. But
but for me, it's like I'd much rather just see that we play Chelsea, we play you guys, and then we play Everton. I'll be happy. Ooh. We walked away with the dub over Chelsea. If we walk away with a draw with you guys, and you know, we have to see how Carlo's going to be, but Carlo's teams tend to be very difficult. Mm-hmm. If we get by not losing to you guys in Everton, then
that's a good 3 weeks.
Yes, that is a very good 3 weeks.
Yep, then international break.
Yep, exactly. So I'd rather take that, and we'll just have to see, man.
Yeah, we will definitely see, man. It's going to be definitely – I think this is the game of the season so far. I think it's bigger than Chelsea-Liverpool. I think this is the one of the big marquee games, which is why it's on Monday. So we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll appreciate your time, V2. We'll get on again soon, I'm sure. And thanks for being the first ever guest of the SFG podcast. I wish nothing but bad luck for your team on Monday.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you. You guys have a great podcast, man. I check in every once in a while.
I appreciate it.
It's just very it's very insightful, man. Just
all love, bro.
The Arsenal stuff, even though you guys suck, but hey, we'll definitely see how it goes, man. So catch you guys around, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Appreciate it, man. So guys, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to finish the segment 2 right after this. Thanks. All right. And we're back. Welcome back to SFG Podcast, episode 7. thanks to V2 for coming in. Like I said, our first guest, Liverpool fan, very, very insightful Liverpool fan. Always respected him as a Liverpool fan. So it was really good. Really appreciate you coming in, bro. So now we're going to go back and speak about the Leicester City Arsenal game that just happened a couple days ago in the EFL Cup. Arsenal won 2-1. Was 2-1? 2-0. I'm sorry, 2-0. I'm out here trying to not give us clean sheets and stuff. 2-0. Own goal by Leicester and a second by Eddie Nketiah. That's two goals for him this season. Real happy for him, the young lad, getting some games, getting some goals under his belt. So the lineup was very I was surprised to see actually as many first team players. But I guess considering Leicester definitely had a lot of first team players. We had Leno in the back, obviously starting. Kolasinac at the left center back. David Luiz center back. And Rob Holding. So two of the three first team mainstays. Ainsley Maitland-Niles on the right. Joe Willock and Elneny, which I think me and Sakani had called. And Saka on the left. So Bellerin did not start. And then we had Pepe and Tekia and Reece Nelson up top. And then Leicester played a 4-2-3-1. Ward, their backup keeper, is in the back. Amarty, Fuchs, and Wes Morgan. Amarty on the right. Fuchs and the Jamaican Wes Morgan and at the two center back roles. Actually, those were the two center backs that won Leicester City their title back in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And Thomas on the left. Yeah, it was Fuchs and Morgan.
Was it? I thought they had somebody else that left. Could be wrong.
Yeah, Maguire came after. Fuchs and Morgan were their two main guys.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they were. Morgan was the captain. Fuchs was. They got Morgan, I think, the year after that. I mean, not Morgan, Maguire. Yeah, they only got him the year after that. And then we had.
Stayed 1 year and left again.
I know, basically. Dewsbury Hall and Chuderley. And there's two double D mid rows. Mark Albrighton on the right. James Maddison in the 10. I know he had just got back not too long ago. And Damari Gray on the left. And Kelechi Iheanacho up top. So not too much to say about the game. I was really impressed with how the young kids. I mean, we can't you know praise Mikel Arteta enough for how much he's changed the mentality of this team, but Reece, Eddie, Joe, all looked Ainsley Maitland-Niles. They all look just older, just wiser, more composed. They just look like different players in under Mikel Arteta. And Joe Willock was a guy that I thought, you know, this is a big make or break year for him, in my opinion. I think if he doesn't make the jump this year to becoming an actual decent squad player, I think he could be left behind. I think he would be, you know, especially considering how many center mids we're looking for, you know, I think he's a guy that we're really looking to make that step. Saka has made the step already. Reece, I think, has proven himself on loan that he can play at this level. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I mean, there's not much you could say about him. We already know Mikel's affinity for him. He had, you know, 1.5, you know, feet out the door and was begged to come back. So, you know, we all know he's going to be a part of our plans next in the near future. You know, even Martinelli proved last year. I think he almost had double digit goals last year. So he already know. Oh, he did, right? In all comps. Exactly. So, I mean, Joe Willock was probably, and Eddie's even proved, even though his loan spell wasn't great with Leeds, he scored over there. He did what we asked him to do. You know, he got match experience under Bielsa and scored a couple goals, and now he's our backup striker. So he's a part of the team right now. He's a part of the first team for the near future. I think Joe Willock is the only one that hadn't proven, you know, hasn't had the loan yet, and he hasn't quite made that step. He's been in, you know, certain situations where he's had to play out of position. Sometimes he had to play in the 10, sometimes he even played up top just to press in the last 10-15 minutes of games. But at certain points. But I think today that game against Leicester, when he played his position as a central midfielder, you know, and had played this alongside Elneny, where he was able to kind of have that free roaming positioning, and he had a very good game. I must say, you know, I think he had a very, very good game for what it was worth. 88.6% pass accuracy, two shots, none on goal, 47 touches on the game. Very, very good. Was able to, did a lot of pressing, won the ball back a lot. Four long balls, four of them accurate, so 100% long ball rate. And defensively, you know, he wasn't bad at all either. He made his contributions there defensively. And I think it was, hold on, I got it right here. He won one tackle, two interceptions, one clearance, two fouls. So, yeah, like I said, it wasn't a bad game at all from him. He definitely proved that he's going to be a part of this team. And I think that he just needs to keep getting games. And I think that's the main reason why we were so concerned in putting him on loan or not, because we wanted him to get games. And I think if Awar does come or Partey does come, I think his number gets called to go on loan, only because, you know, it makes it even more difficult. And I think if Elneny stays, then I think that's probably where Joe may have to take his loan, because I mean, if Awar comes, that's Awar, Danny Ceballos, Granit Xhaka, Elneny. That's four center mids right there. Saka could play in the midfield too as well. That's five. And I know I'm missing someone else. Torreira's going to be gone more than likely. Even Chambers. I think you can put Chambers at defensive mid. He was player of the year at Fulham when he went on loan as a defensive mid. So I think, you know, even though Joe Willock's an offensive minded, kind of more of a box to box midfielder, not really a holding mid, I just don't see, even Ainsley Maitland-Niles can play there as well. And you know he's going to play this season. So I think Joe really still does need that loan. But if it doesn't happen, I think, you know, today, I think last game against Leicester definitely proved that he does deserve to be playing. So I definitely give him credit for that. Who do you got as a man of the match? And it's a tough one. Yeah, it's real tough. I wasn't sure myself. Some good games from everyone.
I think I'm gonna go David Luiz. Man.
Okay. Yeah.
He was very solid in that game. Very, mm-hmm. very solid.
Mm-hmm.
He held it down. Had some appearances. Had everybody in the right positions. Very vocal. So yeah, I think I'm gonna give it to David Luiz.
Nice. I'm going to go, you know, it's difficult because I almost want to say Eddie because he got the winner for us, and he would be close for me. Anytime you score a goal, you know, score the winner, you should be in contention for the man of the match, but it's just this.
I wouldn't say it's the winner because they didn't score.
But I know, but the brace, you know. So you score the brace, then it's, you know, you should be in contention. However, it's just he's this is one of the better games, probably one of the best games I've seen Eddie play in the first team for us. It's just that 19 passes, 68% pass accuracy is just not good enough. It's just not good enough. I understand that Lacazette doesn't score goals, but Lacazette is so important for our team because he doesn't have those numbers. He doesn't give you those numbers. He's in the high 70s, high 80s, more or less at a time. It's in the high 80s, low 90s, and he gets on the ball more, and he doesn't get the ball a lot. So most of our center forwards are going to be between the 19 and the 25 to 30 touches at best, because we don't touch the ball a lot. Our link up play goes from our midfield to our wide players. So naturally, you know, Lacazette and our center forwards do a lot of dirty work, and not for, you know, they don't get a lot of output for that. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do more with less, and he's got to do a little bit more with 19 touches and 68%. Pass accuracy. You know what I'm saying? With zero key passes. I don't even know how many dribbles did he. How many dribbles did he have? Zero dribbles. You know what I'm saying? It just has to be better. So I'm gonna go Reece Nelson. I'm gonna go Reese. I thought about it too, man. Yeah, very good game. Very, very good game. Unlucky not to score a couple times, but he was giving. Who is it? Who's their right back? Amarty. Oh my God, that guy's still having nightmares of Reese Nelson. Jeez, this guy just was giving this man nothing but dribbles, nothing but turns, nothing but 1-2s. I mean, it's 93%, 93.6. We're running to 94% pass accuracy. 31 passes on the day, 2 crosses, 1 creep pass. I mean, led the team in dribbles. You know, was still had put in a really good defensive effort. 2 total tackles too as well.
It's crazy though, because I know they don't count it as a shot on target, but he hit the post.
Yeah, hit the post. It really should have been 3 shots on target technically. Yeah. You know, I mean, a great game for Reese. I think Reese really, really put himself in contention. Him and Saka. In that winger role when it gets late in games, because I think Reese should not be put on loan this year. I think Reese needs to play. I know they want him to play more, and I know there's been talks about him going on loan, but I think you absolutely want to keep Reese around, because he has definitely shown when given the opportunity, he produces. You remember the goal against Liverpool last year, which was a huge goal for us, huge game for us, huge win for us. So I think you keep Reese around, because I think he's proven that he's definitely ready to he's going to play a lot of games. Him and Saka are going to be playing a lot of Europa League games. I think he's going to play a lot of those group stage games. I think he'll get a lot of FA Cup games. I think he'll get a lot of EFL games. So I think you definitely keep him. And I think he was my man of the match. So
he was my strong second.
If I didn't pick Luis, it was gonna be. I think Luis was probably my second. I think Luis was my second, or probably Leno. I think Leno too. I think Leno deserves a shot. Leno saved 2 big 1v1s in the game that a lot of people were not talking about. So I got to give Leno credit coming in, especially with half the fan base still missing Emmy. You know, you able to come in and get a clean sheet off the bounce. I think that's great. Yeah. You know, away from home too.
It's crazy because a lot of people didn't realize that he was doing this before.
Yeah, correct. People don't realize outside of Aubameyang, he was our best player last year. I think it goes without saying. So, you know, like I said, good game for Burnt, and all around, yeah, I think it was a great game altogether. Also Holding too, not a bad game from Holding too as well. Also would have to clean up his passing a little bit, but
yeah, I agree. He didn't play bad defensively.
Yeah.
He had some decent passes, but for me though, like I thought he was a bit hesitant, and when he was doing that, he was kind of letting the ball drop. And it was bouncing in front of him, and sometimes, you know, if you're playing against players that, you know, are dangerous.
And that's the thing right there. No, but even they had a great Damari Gray is one of the fastest players in the Premier League. He's just not a finisher. He's not a great finisher. Yeah. But what I'm saying I give Rob credit for is week in, week out, Rob is probably one of our slowest defenders, if not our slowest defender. I think for him to have to play against the Damari Grays and the Sadio Manes and playing in that wing back role where a lot of times he may not have all the help in the world on the right, he does his job. He defends and it's not a lot of mistakes. And remember, he had the cruciate injury at the ACL. And for a guy that height, he was already slow. You know, it still takes some time for him to regain that speed. Ask Bellerin about that. And I think given the opportunity, he was able to do it. You know, second in the team in total tackles on the day, he's second in tied for first in interceptions on the day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Second in interceptions on the day, you know, tied for third in clearances. I mean, defensively, every time we've asked Rob to do something that we think he's probably not going to be able to handle, he's been able to do it, you know. So as long as if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, don't need to fix it. Yeah. So, you know, it works out. So anyways, so enough about Leicester. Great game for EFL. Next game, I think we got Liverpool in the next round. So
yeah, we do.
That's That's great. So we'll see. Hopefully see another 9-goal thriller like we did last time. 10-goal thriller. Oh, 10-goal thriller. That's that. Yeah. Big goal by Joe Willock. I remember that. Let's give one of those. Yeah, definitely. I think it might have been my goal of the season. But anyways, great game for the kids. We're going to talk about some transfer updates now. So it looks like the last couple days we've heard more on Lucas Torreira. It does seem that he's going to go to Italy, but at this point it's musical chairs as to which team he's going to be going to in Italy, because every day we hear something different. One day it's Torino, the next day it's Napoli, the next day it's, you know, now we're hearing Atletico in Spain. I mean, it's Wheel of Fortune at this point for Lucas Torreira as to where he's going to be going. I think as an Arsenal fan, you probably want him to go to more than likely Torino, because Torino is looking like they want to give us the money up front. It's going to be a loan plus obligation to buy, which obligation normally means we'll get the money sooner than later.
Crazy. What I heard as well is that even though we get, even though Torino is offering more money, I think they're still going to do. I heard that they want to do the loan, but they just split the loan. They just split the fee in two.
Yeah.
So they loan him this year for $12 million, mm-hmm. and then they buy him next year for $12 million.
Exactly. So yep. Which is good, because that means we'll get the money to, you know, yeah. I'm cool with that. And I think Atletico, I don't know if Atletico is offering 24 up front.
Atletico only wants to loan. That's the
problem. Yeah, exactly. So
I think he would like to go to Atletico just because it's the bigger team.
Definitely.
But I believe that Atletico only wants to loan, and there's no deal for Partey in the exchange of that. So
yep.
That's why I think Arsenal is going to kind of steer away from him going to Atletico. But we'll see, man. We still have, 9 days, I believe?
9 days left. Days,
something like that.
Yep.
So we'll see, man. It's going to be a very interesting next week and a half.
Two weeks. Also, an update on Hussein Awar. It looks like Arsenal has finally submitted a formal bid. We're hearing around $35 million, which we've already heard reports that Leon is turning that down. It looks like they said that they're far off the valuation of the player, which is fine. That's normally Arsenal's business. To offer something very low, hearing the no, probably the hell no, and then offering up towards that. And I think the reason why, more of the hell no. Yeah, and I've said this from the beginning. I thought this was going to be a deadline day transfer. I thought this was going to be the end of the market transfer, only because at that point, you submit another bid. Let's say we submit 45, I don't think we're gonna go higher than 45. I think if we submit 45, is it 9 days we have left? I think it's less than that, bro. Today's the 26th. We have the window closes to the 5th, I think. Oh, is it the 5th? I thought it was the 1st. Yeah. Nah, oh, okay. Sure. All right, so yeah, I think we offer 25 maybe next week, and 45 next week. And give them the chance to say yes or no. And if they say no to that, maybe we go 47, 48. I think 50 is out of the range of what we want to spend on him. So I think we'll meet somewhere in a little under that. And I think they say yes when faced with the money right in front of them. And I think they also need to have time to go get a replacement, right? Because Depay is supposed to be leaving as well. And Jeff Rene Adelaide, former Arsenal player as well, wants to leave too. So with all these guys leaving, you know, they're going to have to want to spend that money quicker than normal. So we'll see, man. We'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. It looks like the Thomas Partey plans have definitely slowed as of late. As a matter of fact, a new name has emerged as the backup option, which is Boubacari Soumaré. Hopefully I'm saying that right. 6'2", French professional footballer playing for Lille, man, we love us a Leo player, clearly. He is also young player, 20, I believe he's 21. He's been playing with the France system since U16s, which is good. Played at France U21s up until from 2019 till now. I've heard decent things about him. I can't say I know him very well, but as you said, the player profile looks pretty decent. And it looks like as of now, he's the front runner for us to pick up if the Partey plans fall through. And I think the reason why this is happening is because I think Elneny's uncertainty to stay as well will be an issue. So if Elneny, even if we get Awar, I think we're going to be looking for a D mid build just in case Elneny leaves. And I think that's probably why we may be looking to him. Do you know anything about this guy?
No, I don't. To be honest with you, I looked up some
highlights. Of course.
Other than that. He looks very solid. He's like you said, he's 6'2", so he covers ground pretty well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. that's what we're hoping.
But I mean, hey, I trust that they're gonna bring in, players that are gonna help us.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to believe that, Edu and Mikel Arteta
have
a good eye for good young ballers.
Definitely.
Hence, Awar and Partey and those type of players that are being linked to us.
Definitely.
But I can't say I know much about him. I will say that if I do see Lil playing and he's on the field, I'm going to watch just because I want to see how he, gets on. But, yeah, I can't say I know too much about him.
He was with PSG's B team. I think that's what it said. PSG, yeah, FC Paris Saint-Germain B. And then went to Lille on a free transfer. So he's been with PSG's youth team since 2011. So he's definitely a lot of big footballers coming out of there. So it
He played yesterday. Sorry not to cut you off. Mm-hmm. He played yesterday. So I might watch the last 15 minutes of their game because he only got the last 12 minutes. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing. Last 12, 13 minutes. So I'm gonna watch their game to see how he got on, but we'll see. I have faith that they are gonna get good young ballers for our team to help us reach that next level. Obviously, if we can get Partey first, I would love that. But
so
day, this guy,
real quick. January, I'm just reading, Soumare turned down a Newcastle offer for $45 million. Yep, looks like according to Spy Sports, the offer amounted to $45 million, including bonuses. And a quote here says, We had a bid accepted that would have nearly got us to our record transfer high 8 days ago, where we had it accepted by the club, and unfortunately the player wanted to stay where he was. Steve Bruce revealed. From Newcastle, we were close to it.
I will say though, he was highly regarded in his team.
Yeah.
I think he, this summer, I think he, decided he wanted to kind of
to make the move.
Listen to those offers at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I once read when his name first started coming up that the coach wasn't even picking him for the 18 just because he wanted to pick the players that were 100.
Wanted us to focus on play. Yeah. So,
but yeah. I mean, before that, he was highly regarded in the Lille system. So.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, it could be a great player for us. I'm gonna definitely try to do my research and see if I can watch a bit of games from him. But 6'2", I mean, it does look like a really a physically demanding player, and $46 million is not play money. So yeah. the fact he turned it down as a player, he probably didn't want to be in Newcastle, and maybe it's a guy that also is a friend of Pepe. So let's hopefully Agent Pepe can get this over the line, and Gabriel too as well. Yeah, imagine three little players in the last 2 years. So Let's hope for the best. As I said to you before in the last pod, though, it's far easier to find us to find a party type, a deep mid type, than it is to find an OR. Because OR is not a, there's not a lot of ORs that come around. I think it's easier to find ourselves a physically demanding guy that can do the job if Partey goes. So I don't think $50 million for Partey would have been warranted in this situation if we're wanting to get OR. So I think if we get this guy for, you know, right now transfer market has his value at 26, 25 million, which could be whatever. If we can get him for less than that, maybe send Guendouzi that way, you know, in a for a loan. I don't know anything. I know a lot of player swaps is what we're looking at this market. So hopefully we can do that.
It'll be an interesting part of business.
So. Yep. So yeah, just looking at his profile real quick, just to end, just before we end, on transfer market and also on World Football Hub. I mean, they have him as a versatile midfielder, strengths, passing, tackling, natural fitness, decisions, weaknesses, long shots, which is fine. We got a few guys that can do that. But, you know, if we need a guy whose strength is tackling, whose strength is natural fitness, who Arteta has already said, who's already been quoted, could win 1v1s, specifically as we're getting, you know, in these counters and stuff. So we need a guy that can win 1v1s. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited.
I think that's crucial for our 4-3-3.
Yes. Yes. And you need guys to win, to get top four in the EPL and even put yourself in contention. City has shown you need two players in almost every position. And we're starting to build that right now. We need to have depth. You got to be able to do this. You got to have a Champions League squad if you want to make Champions League. There's plenty of Champions League rosters in Europa League right now trying to become a Champions League team. So, you know, hey, I'm just watching his videos. I can already see why we like this kid. I mean, first second of the video, he's busting somebody's lace. So, you know, that's what I want to see. Second clip, he turns on three players, you know, so he looks comfortable on the ball. I mean, look, obviously highlights are there for one reason, to highlight you. You know what I'm saying? To show your strengths. I like to watch highlights and I like to watch full games where I can see what you're doing outside of off the ball. I can see what you're doing, you know, when the ball's not on you. You know, I can see what you're doing when after you've made a bad pass. You know, I want to see the whole package. But the highlights obviously are supposed to be the best of you. And it looks really good from what I can see right now. So, you know, let's see what happens in the next couple of days. If this is the guy, then this is the guy. You know, let's hope for the best.
Gotta support him.
Gotta support it. Exactly. So outside of that, everything else has been still the same. Obviously, Socrates still on the list of leaving. Mustafi possibly. We said Torreira already. Already got rid of Emmy. Kolasinac, we're not too sure about. But I know this week, being that this is the second to last week, actually pretty much the last full week, we're going to see a lot of transfers happening. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. And we'll definitely have a pod out for you guys after the Liverpool game. We'll probably do a review hopefully within the next day or so of that. And where we talk about the Liverpool game and then hopefully have some transfer news from there. Normally big transfer news usually happens after a game like this. Right.
Yeah.
Right after we lost to City, we got Arteta last year, you know, like right after. Normally these big games are like usually causes ripple effects within the league. So I think we'll definitely hear something along those lines sooner than later. So Liverpool on Monday, big game. Then we have EFL Liverpool again. On the following Thursday, which is super crazy, but we'll be playing them Thursday the 1st, which is damn. So we play Liverpool twice in 1 week. That's gonna be something. Both games away from home, and then Sunday we'll have Sheffield United, which is always a tough outfit, and then City on the 17th after international break. So. That's about it. If nothing else, if you guys made it this far, once again, you really mess with us, so we appreciate it. We appreciate you. We're definitely going to try to have more fans on, like V2, when we play the big games. Hopefully, as we'll try to get a City fan on, hopefully sooner or later when we play City. And then, you know, when we play Chelsea, we want to do that. We want to get different fans on when we play different big teams. We can get their perspective and try to go and try to just build up the pod, build up the brand from there. So, again, we appreciate y'all for sticking with us, for continuing to ask for content. It means a lot to us that you guys want to listen and you want to hear what we have to say. So we appreciate you. Anything else? Any last words, Mr. Sick?
Hey, man. It's always the same for me. I definitely appreciate the support from everybody that's giving us a listen. And that really enjoys our discussions about Arsenal and just football in general. So thank you for all of that. And like I said, if you guys have any feedback for us, we are always open to listening, so that way we can keep you guys happy and keep you guys coming back. So once again, thank you again, and we really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that will do it for episode 7. We'll see you guys next week, hopefully with great news, hopefully a great win, a signature win for Arsenal. And even if not, you'll hear us anyways. So till then, COYG, let's go Gunners, and peace.